Coach's Corner. So we're going to talk about the Charles Schwab Modern Wealth Survey. Schwab conducted this survey in March of 2023 and surveyed a national sample of Americans aged 21 to 75. Survey covered a lot of ground, so we're going to pick a few specific topics that we want to cover. Anywhere in particular you guys want to start?
I don't like surveys in general, and you know they all do the same ones. Schwab and Fidelity and Vanguard, they all put out the same thing, which is like, we surveyed people about how much they feel it takes for them to feel wealthy and yada yada yada. I guess the one thing that stuck out to me was when they talked about the differences between generations when it comes to maybe the use of social media, specifically to use it to make investment decisions or follow other people's advice on social media or not. Like, anyone would predict that younger generations are going to be way more up the scale than older. But I still was surprised at the level of engagement that younger people have with financial advice on social media, and specifically they are following advice from people on social media to do things. Mm-hmm. So for example, 60% of Gen Z follows influencers around about who share financial advice, but yet also almost the same percentage makes purchases based on what I see my friends and other influencers sharing on social media, which is very concerning to me and a red flag, to say the least, because we've talked before about some of the garbage that's out there. There may be some good, there are good things out there being shared, but I think it's in the minority.
For sure it's in the minority, and that's the way that this generation is being raised. I mean, my kids are being raised by their parents to be good human beings, but they're getting their information from social media, right? Like how to lift, how to eat, how to clean your house, how to like do everything. It's all following people that do not have to show any credentials whatsoever. You know, my son's following people that lift and, oh, I have to drink creatine and take pre-workout. Like, dude, you're 14. Like, you shouldn't do any of that stuff. So, and we're seeing the same thing in the financial world with people that have no credentials whatsoever, but are telling the entire world, this is how you generate wealth.
And
this is what you should do.
Right. And most of those things are predictably things like crypto, GameStop, flip real estate, those sorts of things, which are absolute jokes of pieces of advice to give the masses. And
how many times have we even seen, what's her name, Susie Orman and the guy who started FUBU, I forget his name.
Oh, the guy from Shark Tank.
Yeah. We've seen them with social media posts that they posted with information that was just dead wrong.
Right, or math that was totally
math
wrong.
Math was completely off.
Yeah.
And it's probably like being edited and clipped where it's like, they just brain farted and said it because they just speak so much and spew so much opinion and bullshit all the time that, yeah, you're bound to like say something that's wrong, but people watch it and people follow it and then people believe it. Oh, if I put $100 away a month for between 25 and 65, I'll have $6 million. Like, no, you'll have like 25,000.
Yeah. I mean, but I think, and we've talked about it before, and these surveys really just reiterate the point, like social media is here to stay, right? Like we can talk about how poor the advice is or how, you know, not applicable it is to the vast majority of people or how wrong some of the things that are being talked about or advised on are. But TikTok's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram's not going anywhere. No. Twitter and Facebook aren't going anywhere. Like, I shouldn't say Facebook. I think that makes me a boomer. But like, we have to start, I'm not saying the three of us, but generally, like, if this is going to be a platform or these are going to be platforms in which people are seeking advice, the people who do it the right way have to have a presence there. And it's not going to drown out the noise of all of the other, you know, other people who are saying the wrong things, but we can equate that to TV and the news cycle, right? There's a lot of there's a lot of outlets that say or, you know, exaggerate things. And I mean, the advisors and the firms that are doing it the right way have to build online social presences, even though we hate it and we cringe about it. Like, it's critically important if this is how people are going to absorb information.
True. And I'm going to whine now, because what's just amazing is how heavily regulated we are in terms of what we can say publicly and, you know, what we can say really anywhere. And the amount of garbage that can be shared and monetized, frankly, on social media by people who have no accountability to regulators is just amazing. That this is what our SEC and our regulators are doing. They have no clue whatsoever about technology, yeah, first and foremost, because they're a bunch of 71-year-old old people mostly. Yeah. But it's really something that should be talked about more. I don't know who or how or where or why, but it's just it's a real problem, because
there
it's
should be like verified
they fly things. Under a there's a the radar is so high that you can fly under in terms of you can go out there and give financial advice,
yeah,
and with no repercussions,
yeah,
and then you get views and clicks and revenue and all that. And it's just insane.
It's not whining. That's the reality of it. It's just, and maybe that's where as advisors, it's like, it's a complete uphill battle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's daunting to think about, okay, we're going to spend time, energy, and resources doing it this particular way because we have to, but then 99% of the other information doesn't have to adhere to the same rules and regulations. It's like, well, why even start? But I guess, again, back to my point, it's just like, if we do nothing, then we're also at a, like, leaving consumers and they're at a disservice, because they don't have access to people and firms like ours who, I'm saying, do it the right way, follow the rules, for lack of a better term.
Right. Why do these firms like Fidelity and Schwab and Vanguard, why do they produce these surveys? What's the purpose of them? Because so many people want to know where they stand?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think
I don't find any value in them.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you mean.
Are they for I'll us say this. or for consumers?
I think they're more for advisors.
They're more for advisors.
A little bit. Yeah, probably more for advisors, but I also say this, having worked in these kinds of places, there's a lot of people in there that need stuff to do. And I'm not kidding. Like, there's marketing departments full of people that do this stuff, and they feel really proud of their product, that this is what, you know, they've produced this phenomenal comprehensive survey showing this, that, and the other, whatever. But
what were you
and at? Then Schwab puts it out, and Fidelity's like, whoa, hey, you guys got to do the same thing. Vanguard, you got to do this. Yeah. You know, they all, that's why, yeah, there's three of them, or right, 10 of them, or whatever it is.
I know the information seems very common sense to us, but if you think about the majority of, and I'm going to say like older school financial planning firms that are run by, you know, people like 60 plus, right? Like, we have a multi-generational office with people kind of ranging in age. So there's an awareness of, I think, some of the more modern technological features of life that a lot of firms, older firms, maybe don't have. So I do think some of this would be more valuable to like a 62-year-old planner who's like, how do I think about bringing in younger clients or something like that?
Maybe. And also, though, it is targeted towards individuals, because I'll reference one of the slides here, the title of which is about a third of Americans have a documented financial plan, and those who have one feel more in control of their finances. Well, guess who sells booklets and of financial plans to people? Fidelity, for example. They'll give you a 55-page bound quote-unquote financial plan and say, here it is, now don't you feel better about yourself? And it's worth the paper it's printed on, right? I mean, the documented financial plan thing, I think we should debate, Jeff. Because go ahead.
I think if someone's going to go to a Fidelity or Vanguard and get their boilerplate documented financial plan, I would have to guess that that couple or person is probably doing better than the people that aren't at least taking that step.
Okay, fair enough.
As boilerplate as they are, it shows me that their wheels are at least turning and they want to get more information and they want to improve their situation. They may do a few things a little bit better than the person who doesn't do that. If they're not getting like a true documented financial plan, like what we give people, or were you saying like we don't even give people?
No,
like,
we don't do, because a financial plan is not a document. It literally changes by the month and year and ever, forever.
Right. The concept of a financial plan is always changing. Correct. But you got to start somewhere. And we start with a financial plan for people.
But we don't hand them a binder that says, here's your financial plan.
We literally hand them a binder that says, here's your financial plan.
No, that's not how it goes.
It's exactly what we do. Like, here's how we're going to start your financial plan. You're going to sell all these assets over here. You're going to buy all these assets over here. You're going to go talk to this attorney and get a will. Like, we literally hand it to them.
But that's one piece of the process of planning. Sure. Planning. It's not a plan. It's not a noun. It's planning. It's action, right?
So what do we hand people? What do we call those?
You guys are agreeing.
Kind of, but,
yeah,
but
I agree. But like to say we don't give people a documented financial plan to start their planning is wrong.
We give
advice and we give guidance in the form of a physical handout, but it's not the full plan in one book.
Megan's making my point. I am comparing this to what Fidelity says. Okay, we wrapped up
your financial plan.
We have the intake of all the information. Here is your financial plan.
Have
a nice day.
That's the distinction. It's like people think they got their financial plan and now they're good to go.
Yes.
Then it goes back to like these other people that think like, okay, I got that. I'll just come back in 5 years and like redo
update
my financial plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, what did you do between years 1 and 5?
Right.
Yeah.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay, so generally speaking, we didn't feel like this survey gave us a lot of new or valuable information. It kind of maybe just validated the way we think anyway.
Yeah, old people don't use social media. Young people do. Got it.
Right, and it's a lot of like the value of time versus the value of like your financial assets. Obviously, as you get older, time is more important than the money. To us, no brainer. We know this, but I don't know.
Did you guys have any, were you surprised by any of the factors not having enough or why people don't engage in financial planning or why they don't build a financial plan? The first is the perception of not having enough money, feeling like it's too complicated, not having enough time, haven't had a major life event, or probably too expensive.
You're like, check, check, check.
Right,
check.
Like, yeah. Duh.
Yeah, it's exactly why people don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, across demographics, it
varies.
It skews as you would expect.
But it's like, that's exactly why people don't eat better, right? It's too expensive. It takes too much time. Like,
yeah.
It's why we don't do a lot of things in life. Like, thank you for identifying why I don't do the things I should be doing. You nailed it.